podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Local media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
So care about by your speakers.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Thank you. It's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri, AltRockRadio.ca in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, XRPRadio.co.uk in the home of Ozzy Osbourne, Birmingham, United Kingdom. RootRootRadio.com on the beaches of San Diego, California. BuildASCene.com in the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania, with our two red lights. And did I forget anybody? This is a weekly thing.
You've only done 500 and some of these.
Anyway, this is episode 561 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me tonight is Eric Roger of Royal Honey. And hey. We were just discussing how people probably know a lot of what's going on with Royal Honey right now because they've been all over the place.
True that.
So
let's... People are sick of seeing me. I tried to get some of the other guys on tonight and everybody's sick.
Well, well, how about this? We'll start off with one of my newer questions. And hopefully you haven't listened to the last PA Rock Show or the last three questions in the song, because one of them was on both of them.
What are you talking about? I always crash course your last episodes to make sure that I'm up on everything you're doing.
See, that's a great answer.
It is a great answer. It's absolutely untrue, though.
All right, so we're going to start off with this question. I recently watched a documentary about Robert Johnson. And my question to you is, if you're waiting in a crossroads and the devil showed up and offered you whatever it was that you were waiting for, if you gave him your soul, what would you trade your soul for?
Well, I guess, I mean, I think the obvious answer is something to that would extend life here on Earth. I mean, you know, even the general lifespan here is not very long at all. So I'm not sure immortality is exactly what I want to wish for, but I don't know, maybe 400 years on Earth. I don't know, 1400 years on Earth, something long so I could see cool shit. But, there's my one swear. You said I could swear once, so I want to get that out of the way quickly. Yeah, probably like 500 years on Earth or something like that, or 1500 years. I need a little more time to think about it. I would start by asking for more time to answer the question.
When you've been on as much as you have, it's really hard for me to come up with new questions. I do have one, though.
That's why I said we should totally take this one off the rails and just I don't know, open Royal Honey fan mail or something. I don't know. We could sketch napkin designs for new artwork or something, like just something like totally outside of the normal realm of what we do and what we talk about on this.
We could talk artwork. Where does the artwork for your album covers and singles come from?
Oh, that's all Angelo. He's the art director of Royal Honey. And if he was on, he could speak to all this stuff, but he's not. So I'm going to throw him under the bus here and just say, you know, if you don't like it, blame Angelo. If you do like the artwork, then praise me. Cause I showed up. No, Ange is in charge of artwork. He's got a real artistic mind to him. He comes up with the t-shirt designs, the album covers. He came up with the logo. I don't have an artistic bone in my body at all. With the exception of, you know, music. I outsource that part to the people who are good at it. He threw that car design that's behind you with the traffic and, threw that together, and the national publication that that picked up the article for the single release back on March 12th. They were called easynoise.com. They had a cool, some cool feedback. I don't think it actually made the article, but they had some cool feedback for us regarding the art design that we, you know, that Angela threw together to kind of pair with the single, I guess. You know, if we were going to put it out on an old 45 or even, you know, CD single or something like that, that would have been the artwork that went with it. So we threw it up on CD Baby, and CD Baby is the distribution point for Spotify and everything else. And we uploaded to Bandcamp. The artwork for the single goes along with it.
You guys, and this is a real stretch for this segue, but you guys have some festivals coming up. You want to mention them?
Yeah, it's a pretty good, that's a pretty good segue, a pretty, you know, pretty lengthy one. I guess you're making the connection by way of Gigaroo, which is, what's the date on that? July?
I think it's the 10th 5th? And the 11th.
10th, 11th.
It's whatever the first weekend in July is.
Yeah, we're playing July 9th. So the festival is July 9th and 10th. You were right. Yeah, you were right. I'm mixing that up with our hopeful Faster Pussycat Enough's Enough show, which would be at Jurgles on July 7th. That's the rescheduled date, and we haven't heard anything otherwise. So that's still in my calendar. But then, yeah, July 9th, we've got kind of the kickoff of our festival calendar, which we were fortunate enough to land a couple of cool outdoor festivals this year, and I'm happy about that. It's exactly what I wanted to do, because I knew that the festivals would happen this year. You know, there's still some uncertainty with the indoor gigs, you know, with COVID and everything. I'm kind of just cautiously hopeful that, you know, things look like they're starting to open up. Next week, we've got some restrictions in Pennsylvania lifting, some not exactly to 100%, but we'll have to see, like, if some of the indoor clubs start booking bands again. But I was pretty confident that the outdoor gigs would happen because, you know, half of them still went on last year. A couple of them were canceled, but there were a few that still happened, and it seemed to be a fairly safe environment. And I don't believe that there were any, like, you know, increased COVID numbers specifically from outdoor summer festivals or outdoor gatherings like that. We really didn't see numbers start to climb again until the, like, holiday season hit, when everybody was gathering indoors with family, and that's when those numbers started to peak. So it's a really long way of saying I you know, our band was just kind of looking at the calendar saying, you know, we're hopeful for the indoor stuff. We're pretty sure that the outdoor stuff's going to happen, so let's focus on those. And I was we were in a fortunate position to get called up on three of them. Gigaroo is the first one. And again, that's July 9th and 10th. We'll be playing at 6 p.m. on the 9th. So I think we're one of the first bands that night, kind of almost kicking off the series. I'm very happy about that.
It's very hot on Friday night at that point in the day.
Yeah.
I'm going to warn you ahead of time.
That's all right. You know, we're used to that. We played at a pretty hot spot last year at the Rock for Life. August date, and, you know, and we're a warm, you know, we're kind of a sizzling band, so we're used to being hot and heating people up. You know, we welcome it 6 p.m. on a nice summery July night. That sounds friggin' fantastic to me, actually. So, I can't wait to play it. Looking really forward to that. And then, two in August, Millville Music Festival got rescheduled this year here in Pittsburgh from it's normally in May, and it got rescheduled for, unfortunately, it's they put it on the same weekend as the Rock for Life Festival. So that'll end up being the first weekend in August, July 6th and 7th. So, you know, get out and see some festival of live music that week, whether it's Millvale, in the Millvale neighborhood of Pittsburgh in the city, or if you're on the outskirts, then head back up to Iceland Field and go see the Rock for Life Festival. Between the two festivals that weekend, there's just, you know, eons of good bands. Wish I could be in both places at the same time, and I'm kind of bummed that they didn't coordinate with each other to avoid that. But I understand why Millvale moved their festival from May to August, because, you know, May there was just a lot of uncertainty, and August is looking like a lot more people will be vaccinated and or you know, have had it. So, you know, people who have had COVID should be fairly well protected for, you know, 90 days or so from getting it again. So I think summer's actually going to be pretty good as far as people getting out and being able to see live music. We actually don't know what day we're on. I don't know if we're on Friday or Saturday, the 6th or the 7th for Millvale yet. But regardless, I'm just excited to be playing that festival again. And then we're playing the Band Jam Grassroots Festival. That's put on by Shady Lady Productions and our new friends, Utah and Bob from 97.7. Was on their program, I think, a week ago, Sunday, and that went really well. So we're happy to be on our first Band Jam this year. And that is August 27th and 28th up at Cooper's Lake Campground.
Cooper's Lake.
The festival is at Cooper's Lake, and then camping is separate. I think they're both on the Cooper's Lake property, though. I can't
they
remember.
They are, yes.
Okay.
But the ticket for the Band Jam does not cover your camping. That's a separate fee.
Yep. Okay. That's no problem. I just couldn't remember if they were on the same property.
I don't have a flyer for that one, or I would show it too, but I should get a Groove flyer and a Rock for Life flyer. I'll have to get the Gigaroo one or the Band Jam one.
Yep. Okay.
And since you brought them up, the Band Jam, Noble Hops, and the Grassroots Show are all sponsors of Build a Scene Radio. So we'll throw that out. You go to buildascene.com/radio, and all the sponsors are down the right hand side. Make sure you go out and support those sponsors for us.
Definitely. Definitely. And again, anybody who's listening and is looking for live music, there's tons of live music coming this summer. Plenty of opportunities. So, you know, please support. You can get tickets for the Band Jam through us. Gigaroo is a door only ticketed event. I think you just, yep. So,
that one is $20 for both nights. So $20 yep. total will get you both nights.
Awesome.
Same with Rock for Life.
And then Millvale, I think, is free. I can't remember if there's any entrance fees there or not. I think it's free, but I sometimes get that in Deutschtown mixed up. So, but I'm pretty sure Millvale is free. Probably could have done that research before coming on here and looking like a fool, but yeah. Yeah, because I think they promote, you know, they promote kind of wandering from venue to venue and taking a walk through the city and seeing the outdoor stages. And so I'm pretty sure everything is free of charge, music-wise anyway.
I teamed up with the writer from First Angel Media, and which isn't a far fetch for me since I am part of First Angel Media. But if you go to Build a Scene and you go to the scene tab, there's a link that says 2021 Event and Festival Guide. And I spent a weekend tracking down as many festivals as I could find in the Pittsburgh area and breaking them up into what month they are and linking to either their Facebook page or website. And then D.N. Rowe, also known as Mad Clock, who we were talking about earlier, wrote an article about what we believe is going to happen for the rest of the year as far as festivals and events go. And if you want to check that out, just go to buildingscene.com and hover over Scene. You'll see it in there.
He also did a fantastic article on our new single release, which was on March 12th. And so really appreciative to him. But that article, both your, the time that you put into that website, because I've used it, I'll be honest with you. I went out and I think you sent me a link to it. So I went through and made sure that I had applied to everything that was, I guess, pertinent to us and up our alley. We went ahead and applied for, the only real festival that I didn't get into that I wanted to, there's one down in, West Virginia called Rim Rocks that happens in July, I think as well. And it got canceled last year. But they have a very limited capacity, that they're allowing in this year. So they also limited the number of bands. So I was kind of bummed about that one, but yeah, some friends of ours are playing that one. So
I think Dragline plays that sometimes.
I think Dragline's on it and the Cheats are on it. I can't remember if anybody else from Pittsburgh is, but they've got a great lineup down there. So if we're free, we might kind of, you know, jump in a van and all go down as a band just to support that one as well. But we'll see.
You mentioned Cut and Run. Why don't we talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah. Cut and Run is, you know, a very energetic single that we put out on March 12th. We've been promoting it now for a couple of weeks. We got some national exposure, some national press from it. It's been pretty well received. It's been really cool to see it get in the hands and in front of people that the first CD didn't get to. Like, it's just like the first CD called Hype Money and Misbehavior and the singles that we released with that, you know, got all over Pittsburgh and maybe even a little regionally. Cut and Run has gotten beyond that already. We know it's gotten some airplay in California and like Las Vegas. So it's just been cool to see it pop up in Excess Noise, which is a worldwide publication, you know, and on the homepage when it was released, you know, the writer did a cool article about it, which was really nice. And we popped up, it was I think they called it a new track review. And we were placed right under Paul McCartney and an article about, a new mix or a new version of his last album, I think. And so, you know, our pictures popped up, you know, basically right under Paul McCartney and this article about him. And I was just like, all right, we're getting somewhere.
So how about we take a moment and we listen to Cut and Run, and we'll come back and I'll ask you a couple more questions and then I'll let you go.
Cool.
You know what I didn't do? I didn't do my homework. I don't know who I am going to play with you, because generally I play two songs in the middle. You know what? I'll play the Borstal Boys.
Always safe with that. And that'll be a good segue into talking about another kind of, I don't know if it's festival, but you've got them on your website, but that is season two of the SOS concert series, SOS PGH concert series.
Let's
like a bright light, bright. I wish I could forget about your memory. I'll meet you in my room. It's coming on too soon. I need another spoon of my remedy.
You just heard the Borstal Boys' Green Light, and before that, Royal Honey Cut and Run. With me tonight is Eric Roger from Royal Honey.
Hey.
And Eric, you wrote a song called SOS 2020 that has pretty much exploded. it started its own movement.
Sure did.
And if you guys aren't familiar with the song, we don't want to spend too much time on it because we've spent a lot of time on it.
We have multiple episodes.
But basically, the proceeds from purchasing the song SOS 2020 are being donated to NEVA's Emergency Relief Fund, which in turn is being used to help out the music scene, venues, and companies that are, you know, rely on the music scene.
It's SOS2020PGH.org. You can get the whole story there, the background. It's This all happened between October and January 2020 into 2021. And a song was released in early 2021, and now it's exploded, like Bill said, into this concert series and coming up on season two.
April 8th, I believe. Is that Thursday?
Yep. So it's Thursday. Season one, too, was as well, was on Thursdays. It's four Thursdays in a row. April 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. Broadcast live stream from And Stuff Music, the Next Door Cafe, literally right next door to And Stuff Music. If you're from the Pittsburgh area and know that music store, go please support them. They are one of the staples in this music town. I've been shopping and buying my strings there for forever, it seems like. They've been there longer than I've been alive. So actually, they've been around longer than I've been alive. I'm not certain that they've been in Blonox. I don't know the exact history of when they moved there, but I think they started somewhere else and then moved up to Blonox. Anyway, support And Stuff Music. Support the Next Door Cafe and support season two of the SOS PGH concert series. It's $10 for season two. If you were a season one subscriber, that's already, you get it for free.
Should have gotten an email. If you didn't get the email, check your email.
Yeah. And our friend Rocky Lamondi is the producer of all this. It was his idea. And he teamed up with Todd from 10 Band Productions. And Alexis Salinas is doing all the video and graphic design and images again. So it's just a great team. And, you know, Rocky wanted to change it up a little bit this season. So we've got a singer-songwriter night.
I think that's the
end. Then we've got a blues. Yeah, and then we've got a blues night. On the 15th, we've got a jazz night on the 22nd, and then we've got a heavy metal night on the 29th to wrap up the whole thing. And, that one I was, a little more heavily involved in. And that one I can actually talk a little bit more about. That one we've got Skell anchoring it and Winter's Descent and Instakill, three fantastic metal bands, all from the general Pittsburgh area. Just so happy to have those guys. And then one other note is that, and I should have worn my shirt tonight, but Robbie Perrone, who plays bass in Instakill, he and his wife, their marketing company called Endeavor After LLC, donated all the SOS 2020 t-shirts to all the participants who were part of the song. So that was really cool. They were happy to be a part of it. Now kind of on both fronts, you know, kind of on the donation front and now donating their time as part of the performers. So
Instakill sounds like a metal band name, right?
Just, mm-hmm.
You know, it's one you expect.
They all do. Winter's Descent.
Instakill is because they're gamers. I just interviewed him. It's gaming. I was like, really?
Actually, that doesn't surprise me. And I think I had heard that somewhere as well and was not surprised by that. But I'm not a gamer.
Have you heard the new track from Winter's Descent, Fortune?
Oh, yeah.
It's phenomenal. I was so excited when I heard it.
Yeah, that's really good. And I ran into Jerry Mulligan at our rehearsal space. We happened to share some rehearsal space. And last week I ran into him and I was talking to him about their rehearsals for the show. And our buddy Nick from Big Atlantic, he filled in on drums on Winter's Descent's last album. So we were having a conversation about Nick being involved and I guess he's doing the show with them as well. So that was just really cool. Like part of the SOS 2020 experience for me was all about the community and you know, kind of started out as a song. Like I said, Rocky had the idea to make it into a concert series and then you know, and then Bob McCutcheon, who was involved from the get go, he really had this vision of, you know, of the community and how can we reach out even past the song and past the shows. And, you know, and we started talking to Liz Berlin, who's on both sides of the fence, because they have Mr. Smalls, and she performed on the song, and she, you know, she's obviously a musician from
Rusted Root.
Rusted Root, yeah. So, you know, this whole sense of community, just when I, in the first season, you know, when I would go up on stage and just see the number of people in the room, and it's a limited amount because we're just live streaming basically to the other bands and maybe a couple of the plus ones and the support staff. And then obviously the pianos and stuff staff is all there. But just seeing that community in the room of people that I didn't previously know prior to doing this project. And then now, I forget what my point. Well, you know, and then, you know, bringing in bands like Winter's Descent, who, you know, we ran out of studio time. So not every band in Pittsburgh had the opportunity, you know, we didn't have the opportunity to invite everyone. So, but, you know, I was happy to be able to invite bands that weren't necessarily involved in the song, you know, like Winter's Descent, and they've got, you know, obviously very, very deep ties into First Angel Media with Jonna and those guys and Nick being in Big Atlantic. And it's just like, you know, I'm witnessing this community, this sense of community coming together, kind of just as a fringe benefit of the song and this idea that, you know, just kind of hit me in back in October. And, that's really, you know,
I remember actually discussing your idea with you and, mm-hmm. and some things that didn't happen, but, and then you, came to me and you're like, hey, we need a website. And I was like, yep, I'm in.
Yeah.
Because like I said, in the one Zoom meeting, you know, I my website is Build the Scene. So, you know, I'm not going to be involved.
I mean, yeah, the number of different, I want to say, avenues or destinations or something, like the number of different bands, people, venues, and then even just sole contributors, whether it's videographers or art people, you know, there's definitely been, it's definitely generated some commerce. I mean, I think you've been a beneficiary of mm-hmm. some of the actual, you know, there's some financial opportunity. There's some work to be done is basically what it comes down to. And eventually, you know, some of it is definitely unpaid, but some of it, some of the opportunities out there are paid opportunities. And, you know, and I want to think that some of the opportunities that you have gotten may have come about because of, you know, relationships that we put, that we brought together because of this project, you know, like maybe you knew Adam and Drusky and those guys before, or the Vanosky Winery before, you know, SOS, but I think that you knew them better after the SOS project happened. And I think that, you yep. know, I think that that's led to some opportunities, and not just with you, but I mean, you know, Alexis is, I think her appointment book is overflowing, and I think she's full, and she should be, because the amount of work that she dedicated and the fantastic job that she did prove to this whole community. And she's a transplant. She was brand new to Pittsburgh, from New Orleans, came up with Dominic, who was coming home basically. But she's new to Pittsburgh, and she showed everybody what she could do from a video and an art and a photography standpoint. And, you know, and that rightfully should be turning into, you know, lucrative opportunities for her. She has to figure out where to draw the line between, you know, giving it away for benefit and where to start charging. So,
and having being someone who's been doing that kind of stuff since 1995, I can tell you it's really 1996. It's really hard to draw that line sometimes.
I know. I mean, I get that. You know, I'm trying to figure out if if SOS PGH is always going to have to be, you know, a philanthropic avenue. You know, we already kind of reduced it from SOS 2020 because that was obviously the song and it was specific to the year 2020 and all the COVID going on. And then when the, you know, Rocky had the idea, he's like, why don't we shorten it to SOS PGH for the concert series? You know, I've got some ideas floating through my mind, like, you know, can we do something with that that isn't necessarily 100% all, you know, all for charity, but where, you know, maybe this is something, a brand that sticks around Pittsburgh for the next 10 or 20 years, but only a portion of it. Like, I don't know, you know, I have ideas, like, you know, can we turn it into a promotions company and start booking shows at other venues? And our job then becomes to fill these venues for the venues. It's still supporting the venues. You know, but does it all have to stay, you know, 100% benefit? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm just kind of, you know, it's just stuff that's kind of popping through my mind. And, you know, and Rocky and Bob and Alexis and I should all sit down and figure out, and even you, I think you're a majority stakeholder as well. You know, we need to kind of all figure out, you know, do we just at some point put a lid on that brand and then say, you know, now we all go do our own stuff and we build it into, kind of segue it into other stuff that we're doing, or do we continue to use it in some meaningful manner, but not carelessly? We want to make sure we do it. You know, if we do, we do it right. So,
well, while we're talking about kind of offshoots, not to confuse anybody, but Wednesdays before the Thursday shows, you will be able to watch basically what Eric and I are doing now, except I'll be talking to artists that will be performing the next day. And you can find that on the website as well, SOS2020PGH.org. I did it right that time.
Yes, you did. Nice job.
So, you know, everyone came to the game with what they were talented at. And you know, that was mine, podcasting and websites.
Exactly. And
I can do the photography and I can do the image editing, but when someone's better than me, let them do it.
Yeah. And a lot of it came down to time management. I mean,
oh yeah,
I don't think you had the time to put in what Alexis did. And
no, and distance as well.
Yeah. So I think that was part of the community too, was just assembling a group of people who, I mean, I didn't know Alexis before Rocky introduced me to her. Rocky, I don't believe knew you and vice versa. I mean, you knew of each other, but I think we introduced you.
I interviewed Rocky at Rock for Life.
Okay.
19, I think, or maybe 20.
Yeah. He didn't know your repertoire. He didn't know your history. He didn't know your portfolio. You had already done the Royal Honey website. So when we were on a call and he said, you know what? We really need to shotgun a website like sooner rather than later. And I was like, okay, well, I know there's one guy and I know he'll get it done. So you can say yes or no, but if you say no, I got no one else. Like, and he's like, okay, then it's yes. I was like, all right. So, and that worked out well because I knew you and I knew that you could get the job done. And I knew that you had built the scene and I knew that you had a vested interest in what we were doing. And then I knew that you had resources behind you that we could pull in as well. Like First Angel Media, you know, that your ties into them. And, like I said, it's a big web of community, and this is exactly what I wanted to see happen.
There's one that's not nearly as well known, but I have the ear of DI Records as well.
Is that
that's Dakota?
Dakota, yeah, perfect. Okay, yeah. We need to figure out a way to involve them more. Actually, that's one of the areas where smaller independent labels like what he's doing, like what Kitsulu Productions is doing, what like Someday Nameless is pretty much just promotions, I think. And while there's no shows going on, you know, there's not a lot going on there. But
there's so many of them too. Wild Kindness.
Well, and even Utah with Shady Lady. Yep.
Again, if you go to the Build the Scene and up in the menu, there's it says directory. If you had a directory, I've started building a directory of businesses that are local, and there's sound, lights, labels, recording studios, bands, whatever I could think of. And there's definitely room to add yours. So, you know, click the add button and add your business if it'll benefit you.
Cool. And since we're on the topic of help and helping, helping others and helping venues, I just do want to do a quick shout out to a new endeavor, that I'm not actively involved in, but I'm supporting as well. And that's, it's called Night Lifeline. And, that's, you know, two people that I worked closely with on the SOS 2020 stuff is Adam Valen over at Drusky Entertainment and Liz Berlin, obviously from Rusted Root, and Mr. Smalls. They were both heavily involved with the Night Lifeline endeavor. And do you happen to know their web address?
I think it's nightlifeline.org.
I believe that's what it is as well. So please check that out as well. The one thing that I will say,
it is linked on the SOS page.
Exactly. Yes. So yeah, we're supporting them, just by getting the word out. You know, it was two fairly separate projects, but, you know, any funds that were collected or raised through SOS 2020 PGH, those went directly to NEVA, which is a national emergency relief fund. And what's different about Night Lifeline is that those are local funds that stay local. And right now they're just in a collecting, they're in a fundraising mode. And then the flip side of that will be coming at some point where sound engineers or even bartenders, waitresses, anybody who worked in the nightlife industry, even bands, I believe, will be able to apply for grants that would be distributed from that pool of funds. So, you know, please check that website out. And I don't have a lot more information, but I do have the, you know, the go ahead from Adam to make sure that people are keeping up to date with that website, and any changes that they make will basically just be new instruction on what's coming next, whether it's, you know, whether it's, hey, we're almost at a milestone and we need to get there just a little bit more on the fundraising side of it, or if it's instructions on how to actually apply for the grants. Because we do have a lot of local people that we know are suffering, and, you know, it's not just the venue owners, but we just want everyone who's involved in that industry and who is, you know, hurting because of the pandemic to know that the bands are with them. We're sticking with them. You know, we want them to know that, you know, we feel it too, especially the bands that, you know, that are musicians for 100% of their income, which is not me, thankfully. So,
And speaking of giving and supporting the scene, this past weekend they did a Save Moondogs virtual event.
Yes.
And currently I'm looking at the GoFundMe, which started out with a $25,000 goal. And I know they had some other avenues that you could make payments to help support. But on the GoFundMe, they're currently $41,345. So hats off to Pittsburgh. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm very glad to hear that. And I've been fortunate to play Moondogs a couple of times. You know, Ronnie's an acquaintance. I don't know him real well. But, you know, but Rocky stopped by Moondogs because it's, you know, basically right down the street from In Stuff Music. So, you know, that whole Blonox area, I'll be honest with you, between Moondogs and the Starlight and the Next Door Cafe and Pianos and Stuff, that actually, if it's not already, that could become a real, real hotbed for music again. I mean, very quickly it could turn into almost like a Southside or a Lawrenceville. So that would be cool. But yeah, Norm Nardini is always up at Starlight, and I'm anxious to see his shows start back up there. You know, and I'm anxious to see Moondogs reopen. This town cannot be without those venues. So
that's the venues closing. That's an issue.
Yeah.
I saw, I can't remember who posted it, but somebody posted a sign of Kativo with the for sale sign on it.
And yeah, that sign's actually been up a long time. There's been Kativo. So I've played Kativo a couple of times now, and I've been to a lot of shows at Kativo. And Kativo, I don't know where it came from or when it started doing shows. It seemed to like come out of nowhere for me. Somebody posted this address where the show was going to be. And I just remember driving around looking for parking. And then I found it and I was like, what is this place? And then I got in there and I saw there's the two stages upstairs and downstairs. And then it's perfectly set up for, multi-stage events like, every Halloween, right around Halloween, there would be a cover, like a tribute fest benefit that some friends of ours would put on to raise money. I think for animals, I think every year the beneficiary is animal shelters and animal, possibly animal hospitals, or animal rescue. But the tribute fests are perfect there because you can bounce from stage to stage. Shy Kennedy has put on her Descendants of Crumb metal festival there. And
that,
it was,
that one is definitely postponed for this year.
I know.
With her.
I'm just saying,
but she Kativo, did say 2022.
Yep. Kativo is turned into like this perfect 1-2 punch venue. Like both upstairs and downstairs are cool in their own way. Downstairs is a little moodier and has a lot of character to it. Upstairs is bigger. It's a little more wide open. It's got the bar in the back. So you can have some bigger shows there. Like I actually saw Faster Pussycat play there. I saw the Biters play there. But that they have been very hush hush about what's going on. And I've gotten haven't been able to find really any definitive information other than people basically saying that the place has unofficially been for sale for years. I guess, you know, it was one of those situations where the owner, I think his name's Frank, would have sold it if if anybody would have offered what the number is he had in his mind. And then when COVID hit, he just formally put the for sale sign up on the door. That doesn't necessarily mean will never reopen. But it certainly doesn't look good. I mean, you know, he's been closed since last March. So I think that one's just in limbo, and it has been in limbo since around the same time when Brillo Box closed and Hollers closed, and then the Rex was right behind them. And then Hambones kind of for other reasons. But Hambones closed, and then you know, and then we weren't sure about Kativo. That was on the list, and it was just like, Kativo's in limbo, and we don't know if shows will ever return there. I'm really, really hopeful that they do, because that's a, that turned out to be a really cool, like, I don't want to say secretive or backdoor. I mean, everybody knows about it now, but it seemed to be very backdoor for me for a while. And it was just like, what is this place? You know, it just kind of came out of nowhere. And then all the coolest shows seemed like they were going there. It was just weird for me.
So Shock Frenzy just showed up in the chat.
Oh, that's cool. Those guys are great. They had us out. We owe them a show here in Pittsburgh, and I can't wait to be able to bring them out here. But they had us out in Cleveland in October when things were a little opened up out there before the second shutdown hit. We were able to do one show out there in Cleveland with those guys, and it was a fantastic show. It was so good to see them. So good to see their fan base, and we're appreciative that they were able to bring us out and let us play to basically their fans. And we're anxious to return that favor as soon as we can get them here in town.
So this last question I may have asked you before, but I have to ask it because it's becoming ritual. Who's your Dave Grohl?
In other words, you've asked me this 100 times.
I know, but I have to ask it because if I don't, then that'll be the episode he listens to.
Oh, I got it. So if someone asked me to come on stage and jam their song with them, who would I want to ask me on stage?
Yes. I definitely have asked you that question, clearly.
Absolutely. So I want to make sure I answer it differently every time.
Shock Frenzy, right?
Well, Shock Frenzy, I mean, I would jump on stage with those guys anytime. I hope they do ask me next time. Let's see how I'll answer this one. I'll say Katy Perry. I could do Hot and Cold like nobody's business. I'm not going to right here for you because cause this ain't free, but... But if you buck up, I'll sing some Hot and Cold for you.
I have jewelry.
Not gonna happen, Bill. Sorry, man.
it sells for $5. Don't give us too much.
All right.
You got to keep them waiting.
Yes, always keep them wanting more, right?
All right, so this has been episode number 561 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me tonight was Eric Roger. Make sure you check out his band, royalhoneyband.com. Royal Honey is the band. Eric, I want to thank you for coming on. I almost forgot to say that.
Thanks for having me, Bill. Again. We'll be right back.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.